Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
I'm Sheila.
And we're here for a bonus episode. We had no plans on doing a Tuesday episode this week, but history overtook us because, yes, I'm sure you've seen it in the news. Criminal Minds is being sued.
Yes, by the government of California. The yep. Department of Fair Employment and Housing versus the Walt Disney Company et al. Yeah. Civil rights complaint for injunctive relief and damages.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I have all 23 pages in front of me. I've gone through it more than once.
This all broke last week, but we were so distracted by the rioting that ended up being exclusively what Sunday's show was about. Sorry about that. I think it's clear why we thought it was that important, but... We got a little carried away, and in case it wasn't clear, I was recommending that people watch Lionheart. It really is an amazing movie. by far Van Damme's best work. Not even close.
Okay.
And it's all down to how good a job Harrison Page did with him. But now we're here to talk about the criminal minds of it all. And I'm blown away that it's like, apparently, the thing that blew me away that you just told me is this has been going on for 2 years.
It's more than that, yeah. I think that because I started to look at, so I haven't done a complete analysis, and we will have further updates as this moves along at some point. But it happened that one of our listeners actually sent me a link, and I hadn't even opened up my Profiling Criminal Minds email for about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't seen it. And she said, I did remember you saying that it must have been an unhappy site to work on.
Yes.
Right? And I don't even remember the context for that, what episode it was, but I do remember saying something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
At one point about something. Right. And I've also just recently, I think, made some comment about the shit hitting the fan after, like, how long was it going to take before people really told us what was going on in this set? Because it was clear. And lo and behold, what do we get?
I know.
But this lawsuit, which goes to so much about what we've been complaining about in terms of sexual harassment, you know, and the way that
bullying,
are portrayed, bullying, all of that stuff, right? And I'm going, and it was just like, oh, well, isn't that nice? So I will tell you, okay, so there are, what this is, I will tell you, first, I will tell you who the plaintiffs are, which is Walt Disney, ABC Signature.
That's the defendants, not the plaintiffs, that's the defendants.
Oh, no, those are the defendants, yes. Yeah. Sorry, the defendants.
Yeah.
Okay, ABC Studios, Inc., ABC, Inc., CBS Studios, Inc., Entertainment Partners, Inc., they are the people that handle all the payroll. I was trying to figure out who the hell they were. But they handle basically payroll stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're the associated corporations who are, you know, for tax purposes, responsible for all of that.
Okay, Gregory St. John's, an individual.
Yeah.
Erica Messer, an individual. Harry Bring, an individual.
Harry Bring?
Yes. You'll see him at the end.
Oh, okay. One of the producers, I assume?
Yeah, he's an executive producer.
Okay.
Okay. And then John Breen Fraser.
I had no idea Breen Fraser's first name was John. Huh.
Yes. An individual. And, of course, the writer of
Black Queen, an episode you're going to hear our take on next Thursday. Not this Thursday. This Thursday is our lynching episode, which couldn't be airing at a better time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I called it synchronicity. I'm just going like,
wow, we really lucked out when we recorded that episode and scheduled it 6 months ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, but the Black Queen is very important for this conversation because it's an entire episode about how, well, not the entire episode,
workplace. But
the subplot of that episode is about how you shouldn't take workplace sexual harassment seriously. And it's just a bit of fun. And there's no such thing as a hostile work environment.
Well, and I will tell you, if they end up going to court,
you could just play those scenes.
Play those scenes. Okay, just play those scenes and tell me.
It honestly would be hilarious if the reason Breen Fraser was sued as well was because someone saw that episode during Discovery and was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, now Glenn Kershaw, okay, who now, as I say, I'm sure that today, ever since this lawsuit started, which was about a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago, wishes he'd stayed on as the director of photography.
Oh, yeah, because if they never brought in St. John, all of this wouldn't be happening now.
Yeah, well, St. John actually was working on the set from 2005, right from the beginning.
Oh.
But he was just a cameraman.
He wasn't in charge of anything. Yeah.
Anyway, so Glenn Kershaw, then Stacey Benneville, who you see as an executive producer, an individual, and then what they call Doe's, right? Yeah. So John J. Doe's, 1 through 10 inclusive. So this means they can add up to 10 more people as plaintiffs, as defendants, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the plaintiff is just the Department of Fair Employment and Housing, an agency of the state of California. And it's a civil rights complaint for injunctive release and damages. Now, what you have as the plaintiffs are Anthony Matulik and Dalv McNeely. And they are real parties, what they call real parties in interest. So they have been named, and then there are 10 other people.
Okay. So 10 other people who have complained and are party to the lawsuit but are unnamed as of now. Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. So they are so it is really good in that sense. But I was sitting there going, and I started to do a little bit of a timeline of this, right? And it turned out, of course, St. John, I mean, it is, those of you who haven't read, please just put in Criminal Minds lawsuit, because I do not want to
read all 40 pages now.
Well, no. I don't want to sort of repeat, because, I mean, what it says here, okay, the introduction, it says over 14 years, and he was the director of photography, right? For, but it was his years, conduct was rampant and frequent and in the open. And then, you know, I don't know, here. Touched numerous men on the testicles, anus, butt cheeks, breasts, kissed, caressed their necks and shoulders and ears, among other actions.
Yikes. Okay?
He doted on men who acquiesced to his attention. He retaliated against those who didn't, including silent treatment, social ostracism, unfair criticism, public shaming, and ultimately termination.
Wow.
So this set, and he was the director starting in season 2.
Yeah, the director of photography.
Right?
Yeah.
Glenn Kershaw was the first year for the most part. Right? And then Gregory St. John's took over. Now, he wasn't director of photography for everything.
No, but he was their standard director of photography.
Photography, yeah. And he, and, you know, so there are all sorts of things to look at. But in 2006, now he took over.
All right. So he's the one responsible for the show's bland, inoffensive visual style.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
There you go. Right? And one of the things that the lawsuit argues is that one of the reasons they didn't do anything about him is they were so dependent on him.
Right.
As the director of photography, so he got away.
Yeah, that's not impossible.
It says, with the aid of the defendants, St. John's created an unchecked, intimidating, hostile, and offensive work environment on the set of Criminal Minds, protected by the executive production team, including showrunner Erica Messer, executive producer Harry Brink, executive producer John Breen Fraser, Glenn Kershaw, and unit production manager Stacey Benneville. These were all people who were responsible for firing and hiring.
Right?
So, and whenever he went to them and said, well, I want you to get rid of this guy, apparently he got rid of an entire electrical team at one point.
Wow.
He just fired them. Right? Because he would go, he would tell them he wanted them fired, and they would fire them.
Oh, my God.
That's basically it. Instead, no necessary steps were taken to prevent sex harassment and discrimination. over the years, nor were appropriate corrective actions taken, right? Instead, the executives fired anyone who resisted or who tacitly evaded St. John's advances or abuse.
Oh, this is a bad sound. This does sound great. No.
The executives fired over a dozen men at St. John's request, including an entire electrical crew and real party in interest, Anthony Matulik, after they resisted St. John's harassment.
Wow.
No, and some of these guys just wanted to get off the set.
Yeah.
Like, you start reading later on, there are people who wanted to get off the set. They were basically blackballed.
Of course.
CBS wouldn't move them to another show.
Damn.
I will also tell you that the Charmed set.
Yeah.
Right? Where Erica Messer worked as a writer and started some of her major work there.
Fascinating.
Was, of course, run by the showrunner was the guy from NCIS New Orleans.
Who had his own issues.
Well, yeah. I mean, he eventually got let go off there.
Yeah, let go because of his culture of scumbaggery and harassment.
Yeah, and sexual harassment.
That kind of makes me wonder if... oh, God, I'm blanking on her name. Who is this? Me Too hero, raised in a cult.
Rose
McGowan. Thank you. Rose McGowan. Yeah. It makes me wonder if, because Rose McGowan did some blind items back in the day talking about this unbelievably scummy producer on Charmed, who, you know, was there for years and never stopped tacitly or low-key sexually harassing her.
Okay. That was
and
Brad.
I'm like, we're not saying it's definitely him. She never named him in any of her stories, but given that this guy worked on Charmed and then had similar problems that got him fired from NCIS Los Angeles, it wouldn't shock me if that was the same guy. I don't know if that's the same guy Rose McGowan was complaining about, because, she talked about, and this, she's always been good about this stuff, but she talked about this phase of harassment in her life before she was, you know, naming a lot of names. Yeah. Back before she stopped caring about getting work in Hollywood and just started naming names.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, she did.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that is there. Like, all of this focuses on 2017, 2018, which explains, we should tell our listeners, that right now we have just started season 13.
Yes.
Doing our podcast.
When all of this was going down.
And then all of this is going down because the complaints were made to Human Resources. Human Resources did a perfunctory at best. I mean, I'm quoting from the law. I'm not quite quoting. I'm paraphrasing perfunctory.
Yeah.
Actually, what the lawsuit says is that they did. Oh, here. Oh, they did a an investigation.
Cursory lawsuit. Cursory investigation.
No. They did an investigation. Mm-hmm. Right. Dozens of crew members corroborated that St. John's engaged in frequent and open sexual harassment, discrimination, and retaliation. Employee
and he still
relations.
Gets his job.
Employee relations concluded otherwise, and as such did not meaningfully discipline or terminate St. John's.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were doing that, right?
Oh, that's a bad look.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did this. I would assume the state has a copy of that investigative report.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't be going forward with this. The reason it hit now is because, even though it's been going ongoing for a couple of years, is that they just finished doing their mediation.
Right.
That is necessary, right?
Because in their contracts, you can't just sue. You have to do a full mediation before you're even allowed to sue.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so they did a full mediation, and of course it was unsuccessful because I'm sure that Disney and everybody wants non-disclosure agreements in there.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So these plaintiffs, I would assume, figure they've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And
you've already been blackballed, what more do you have to lose?
Yeah, right. When you can't get a job in town.
Yep.
You know, I still
remember
that.
You work in the industry and there's no jobs available. Well, you know, you've taken away my reason to keep quiet, guys.
Yeah. You know what's... Yeah, because now... And then this goes back. Okay, what's really interesting, right, is that Mandy Patinkin quit after year two.
Yeah.
Okay. And he says it was about the violence and everything else. But I'm going, year two is the year Gregory St. John's
took over. Yeah.
As DP. And I
that really, could have factored in.
It could have factored in. This is when Lola Glaudini quit. Glaudini
left. Yep.
She just quit, right? After the first six episodes of season two. Like, I'm sitting here going, okay, this is putting a little bit of a different shift on this.
Well, no, it's interesting because we know there was stuff going on the set.
We had.
Because she left so abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we know something was going on there. And obviously, because Les Moonves has so many stories around him, you assume it's going to be Les Moonves related, but maybe there's a whole culture on the set.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, from the top down. And that is what the stories you would get about Bull, for example, is the lawsuits that, Eliza Dushku did over Bull. Her lawyer's statement and her comments were that the attitude that sexual harassment was not to be taken seriously at all from the top, you know, it trickles down and affects everything, right? All the behavior on set. And it could be, it's in fact, there's not an insignificant possibility that the same kind of thing was happening on Criminal Minds, because that's sure as hell what these lawsuits are suggesting.
Well, not only that, okay, this puts another twist on Aaron Hochner's firing, departure. Thomas Gibson's departure, right? Because it's all been this, that, and the other thing, you know, and he's never really said anything.
Nope.
And, you know, but I'm going, okay, so this must be in 2012 when things are starting to...
Yeah, everything's starting to kick off. So he's getting fired at the same time. There's obviously tension on the set.
Very, 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 very clearly, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is, I would say, okay. And of course, Paget Brewster, the set is uncomfortable, but nobody does or says anything because they're going to lose. It's not only that they're going to lose their jobs, right? It's that because Paget Brewster says she didn't want to go back. Now, I don't understand why she went back. We still don't know why.
Probably money.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They probably offered her a whole stack of money to come back.
Yep.
But I'm going, this set had to have been hell to work on. I mean, I know this, having been in a couple of situations like this.
Yeah.
Before, in, you know, a different work environment, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's one person. It only takes one person, and then all of these other people acquiescing or not saying anything or not making enough complaints, or even when they do make complaints. I remember that first year I was at the university and going in and talking to the personnel department head, the head of personnel.
Yeah.
About a case. And I've probably talked about it before. About a case. And you know, she says, well, you know, that girl wasn't that innocent.
Jesus.
You know, and I'm going, okay, I'm not sending anybody to her.
Yeah.
To file sexual harassment charges against this guy.
Yeah. Because and it's a culture of not taking it seriously. And that's what makes the Black Queen so fascinating.
Yes, because and that's what makes
you have this attitude in the corporation trickling down to the characters in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
oh, my God. Like, this is a real eye opener.
Yeah. No, it really is. It's just like, oh, geez. All this shit they've been handing everybody.
Yeah. We've recoiled from that. We recoiled from that episode, and you'll hear it next week. We were disgusted.
Yeah.
That the message of that episode was inappropriate workplace is behavior is fine.
Yeah.
And they don't have the rights to tell tell us what's appropriate. Yeah. But it's not like, and as we said, I'm sure at the time, it's not like you guys are private about your creepy, inappropriate flirting.
No.
You do it in front of people all the time.
Yeah. And what's really weird, okay, is that if you look at the earlier segments. Like that, it doesn't make total sense because you have gotten, when you're watching the show, you get the sense that there's only this group of people. And I am sure, okay, that's a salary issue. I mean, a monetary issue.
Of course.
But if you look earlier, there are a lot more people. They are in bigger offices.
Yeah, with a lot more extras.
With a lot more extras. And those extras disappear because, well,
budgetary reasons,
right? They just get rid of those extras. And
literally every now and then, Agent Anderson is around to hand someone a file like twice a year. And that is the extent of this office.
Yeah, you know, and so, and you can watch it going down. I mean, we've never talked about it in the set because it was never important to what we're talking about in the episodes. But for this to make sense, right, you have all of these people in this room. And of course, it is about Derek and Penelope.
Yeah.
And this thing that makes everybody, I mean, it makes me uncomfortable watching it.
Absolutely.
You know, when I'm watching it. And we've, it's not like we haven't made our opinions clear on that.
Very clear, I would say.
But then the bullying and everything else. So does this also mean that none of the cast is willing to say anything?
Yeah.
For fear of getting fired.
Retaliation. Yeah.
Retaliated against. Who knows? Who knows? You know.
I know. I mean, this is going to be a fascinating lawsuit to follow because we have got all of these names of people who worked on the show who we are being told knew about the harassment and chose to do nothing.
Mm. Right? He did it openly in front of everybody, and that would include the cast.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, this man. When you read the full lawsuit, he was doing it all the time, right in front of everybody.
Yeah.
So the writers, these
behaviors were common knowledge. There you go.
And I am certain that there are some of the writers that just left because they wanted to get off the friggin' show as soon as they could find another job.
Wow.
Like there's a whole bunch of things in terms of turnover that you're starting to go, okay, this puts a different spin on things. Like people, they weren't going to get anywhere by complaining. They couldn't say anything. Like I was in this position for years at the university of, it didn't happen to me, so I had no complaint.
Exactly.
Right? I had no complaint to make. It was always students, and the students wouldn't come forward until finally some did. And then the shit hit the fan, and everything that I knew, right, was just
suddenly it's super relevant. Suddenly you can contextualize five different students' complaints. By the way, here's all of the other people that person harassed.
Yeah, they're going.
Here's and a I'm list. Going,
here's my 10,000 word timeline since I started there in 2004. Everything I know, some I for sure know, some I definitely kind of know.
Here are the rumors some, I heard.
And then here are the people who I'm not so sure that it didn't, but has never said anything to me at all.
Yeah.
Right. And it happened when I got to the university in 2004. Girls were coming up to me and talking to me.
But
you can't do anything. I had nothing to file.
Yeah, of course.
Because
what's that word? It's like you don't have standing.
No. And once my job was threatened, but even then it was so couched and could be taken any way.
Right? Oblique language was used.
Yes, with this particular person.
Yeah.
Right? I can understand how this workplace works, and you get out if you can get out, but not everybody can get out. And certainly if you're the linchpins of this show, right. Mm-hmm. And you're making big money, it's kind of hard to get out
absolutely.
You know, but I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm looking at this cast as well. I'm going, and you put up with all of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a horrible situation because, as you said, like their money is like their life, their entire livelihood is based on keeping the job. And if they get fired from the job, they get a reputation of being difficult. They can't find another job maybe.
Yep.
Like this is a very scary situation. And then you've got this guy sexually harassing people constantly, and nobody's doing anything about it. And that's the thing. When people aren't doing anything about it, you don't even need to be told not to make a fuss. The culture of the place is fusses aren't getting made.
No, fusses aren't getting made because this directive comes from on high.
Exactly. Like, everybody sees it. Everybody sees how it works. You don't have to be told. You just see it working. And what do you call it? The proper, appropriate behavior is telegraphed by everyone around you. So you just get it. You know, you just keep your mouth shut. Don't make a fuss. Just go to work.
And ignore.
Just ignore. Just ignore what's happening all around you.
And hope it doesn't happen to you.
And the weird part is, it's like, now you just keep thinking about the Black Queen. And you think about the fact that they never stopped doing, you know, workplace inappropriate banter between Penelope and Derek. Like, it never stopped.
No.
And the fact that it took them all those years to even address that it could be an issue, and then their take on it was, well, we don't have to take the complainer seriously. Jesus.
Yeah, and the thing
And at the same time, their director of photography was firing guys who wouldn't let him creepily grope them.
Yeah.
At the same time as they filmed that episode. While that episode was being filmed.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, it is an interesting thing. I complained about Breen Fraser's comment in one of I think in the Derek episode.
Yeah.
And maybe in the Black Queen, because he wrote the Black Queen. I don't know. There was no commentary, I don't think, on the Black Queen. So it had to be a previous commentary to that.
Okay.
Where Breen Fraser is talking, you know, about how he was responsible for Derek. That was one of the Derek episodes.
Yeah, one of the, yes. Yeah.
Right?
And how, like, policing Derek's character and, like, developing Derek's character was always one of his responsibilities.
Yeah, and and we talked about it in terms of maybe that's why Thomas Gibson got fired, because he lost his protector. Yeah. But going, no, Breen Fraser obviously just condoned all of this and thought, what's the fuss? Clearly, St. John's I won't even say.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I could say at this point.
We don't want to be looped into any lawsuits, so we're going to be careful.
No, but I would say, you know, I mean, it's fine if it doesn't. The reason this goes on is because everybody just keeps their mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wonder whether Jeannie Triplehorn had just had it after 2 years.
Yeah. What if the set is that toxic that that's why she left?
Yeah, we don't know, because they all talk about they couldn't come to an agreement about the contract and the rest of it, but I'm sitting here going, maybe 2 years was all she could take of it.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Because this is going on. And what about Rachel Nichols?
Yeah. That could factor in too. What happened with Rachel Nichols?
She could get a job someplace else, and she did.
Yeah.
Right away.
Oh no, she's never had problems finding work.
Yeah, but again, nobody says she's never talked about why she left.
Nope.
Or why she was fired or whatever. Yeah. So that's fine. Like, you can't find, like, there are some people for whom I can find no reason. I can find no reason, and that's beyond borders why Anna Gunn didn't do it. But after watching it, we can figure out maybe she just didn't like it. And said,
it
would
shock me if she just didn't want to be associated with that show when she started looking at how it was developing.
Yeah, and besides, who knows what that particular set was like?
Well, because given the show they made, it was probably a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, Erica Messer was the executive producer and showrunner for that show.
Yeah.
So I'm going. No, there's something. This explains in some ways some of the things that we have complained about. Mm-hmm. It's the CBS thing was one. I mean, when we figured that one out, and then you come up and go, oh, geez. But no, if you are compliant with this kind of sexual abuse, bullying,
yeah,
harassment, retaliation, mm-hmm. all of those sorts of things, then yeah, you're going to make it at CBS, clearly.
Yeah, if you can keep your mouth shut.
Just keep your mouth shut, and you've got a job for life.
Oof. Well, and that's interesting, because there's another article in there that we'll link to in the show notes here. We'll link to the lawsuit if people want to read it for themselves. But there's an interesting article someone wrote about the culture of CBS, and it was 99% about Eliza Dushku's experience at Bull, which sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
It really does sound like it was a nightmare working there. And what interests me is it talks about the main thrust of the article is female disposability on these shows.
Yeah.
How, you know, they've got these male leads and the women are interchangeable, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like the whole point was Eliza Dushku is supposed to be a character who can challenge thing. And she was supposed to be a long term cast member of the show. That's why she got the, what, $8 million or whatever. $9 million, whatever they had to pay her. Because she, you know, 100% was supposed to be a cast member on the show for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So they had to pay her what she would have been owed. And what's interesting to me, right, is in that article, which makes some really good points and is very interesting in talking about her case, uses the two worst examples to talk about the culture of CBS. Like the person who wrote this did not enough research into CBS shows, because she talked, I think it was a she, or they, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know. They talk about The Mentalist, and I'm like, that yes. is the worst example to use conceivably.
I know.
It is a show. Yeah, he's the main character, but Teresa is unquestionably his boss.
Yeah.
And it's a show where the woman in charge of the person in charge of the investigations in all of the show is a woman, and she has a bunch of men working for her, and the fact that she is in charge and this is her team and her investigation force is never really questioned in any meaningful way. You know, Patrick doesn't like the system, but no one ever questions that she's in charge and is the authority, like, ever. So it's like, The Mentalist is the worst possible example to use. And then the funny part is she tries to use Criminal Minds as an example and then completely botches it. Because she's like, here's a perfect example of female disposability on that. The Spencer Reed's girlfriend got killed after 5 episodes. Meanwhile...
Well, she didn't even say. She called her... She called me... his long-term girlfriend. And I said, what do you mean long-term girlfriend?
I know.
What?
And then, and then the second part was, meanwhile, the lead female investigator on the show, JJ is by no means the lead female investigator on the show. It's Emily Prentice. But that's beside the point. The lead female investigator on the show has had a boyfriend for 22 episodes. And I'm like, it's great to give a shout out to Josh Stewart, but the much more relevant part of the point you're trying to make is that the show friggin' fired JJ and slotted in another blonde woman. Yeah. That's the point you should have been making here. Mm-hmm. How did you not notice that? You got so close to making the point you wanted to make, and then you used the wrong example, as if Maeve was an important character worth discussing. Spoiler alert, Maeve existed only to get killed so Spencer Reed would be more tragic. That's the only reason she existed. The JJ stuff is the stuff that's worth discussing. What AJ Cook went through, which I'm sure there's a hell of a lot of story there, is the stuff that's worth discussing.
Yep.
You know? But god damn it. Like, how do you get that article that wrong? Oh, it's so baffling.
Here's a scenario you could think about.
Please.
Is did JJ complain?
Oof.
That's why they decided to let her go and most of the staff go, because they were pretty much looking as if they were going to fire everybody, practically.
It is interesting bizarre sequence at the end of season 5-6 where they're like, maybe we just fire everybody. Maybe we just start over.
And then the whole thing with JJ was the fans were just up in arms about them getting rid of JJ.
Yep. They that's so bizarre at the end of season six, where every single character gets like a, you know, well, we're probably, we might fire you, you know?
Yeah. And that may be, I mean, now that you're looking at this lawsuit, and he's been there since 2005, right from the beginning.
Yeah.
He was a cameraman in the first season. And then from then on, he became DP for, he worked on all 278 episodes, and he was the DP for, a whole bunch of them, like 77, and then there's another 32 or whatever. It's weird, but anyway.
Yeah, but he's Ryan? Always there running the lighting and camera department.
Or the camera, or director of camera.
Yeah, whether or not he's the director of photography in an episode, he's the head guy for the photography unit.
That everybody goes to.
Yeah. Oh, this is, I mean, it's so fascinating, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, I really, because now that the lawsuit's up and running, and now that the show is over, are more people going to come up out of the closet?
Yeah. I know, it's like, maybe people won't be so afraid to talk about it anymore.
Well, because
maybe we can finally get some answers about what was going on behind the scenes at Criminal Minds.
Yeah, and guess what? And go. CBS, by the way, the other day, I actually ended up, I don't know how I ended up with watching a season of Bull. I stopped watching Bull, okay? Yeah,
of course.
But there was an episode of Bull, and this is like the third season or something, and it turns out, you know what they did? They married him off, and he's got a baby.
What? Well, so the plot was affected by... Damn.
He married his lawyer's sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have a kid. Okay. So, yeah, they're like, let's settle things down a little after all of this lawsuit stuff.
It's so funny.
That's hilarious.
I heard that, thought, well, I guess I'm going to have to watch this episode. Yeah.
I mean, I would never, personally, I would never watch Bull because I was so offended by the premise, but that's just me. I don't expect everybody else to be offended by the premise, but it's like a loss, you know, a show about a trial consultant.
Yeah.
So it's only going to be a show about super wealthy people.
Yep.
Being cut off of crimes by... Oh, no, I know every now and then they do something pro bono, but come on.
Yeah. No, it's very... I did watch the first season, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah. It's Glenn Caron, the creator of Medium and Moonlighting. I'm sure it's a competent show.
Well, look, and the thing was, is I'm sure that he wanted to set up a Moonlighting situation between Weatherby and Dushku.
Oh, that absolutely. Was his
intention. That's he wanted 100% to set up this
because the intention.
It was so successful in Moonlighting.
Yeah.
And Michael Weatherby.
Weatherly.
Blew it. Weatherly blew it.
Yeah, by being a creep.
Yeah, by being a creep. And God only knows, you know, whether he was that way on
NCIS.
NCIS. Although he might have been controlled, although who knows, I mean, we still, you know, what's her face, Pierrette or whatever,
Polly Pierrette left,
you know, under a real cloud, so she never,
who the hell knows,
she still wouldn't talk about it, but anyway, never mind. But once something is out in the open, and this on Criminal Minds probably explains a lot, because remember there was a point at which I said something about the writing room and how everybody left, and, you know, but I'm not sure. I mean, it's a weird sort of situation. People put up with it, you know, either you put up with it or you stay until you've got enough episodes so that you can make a decent living from this show.
Yep.
In reruns, because this thing is on all the time.
All the time, everywhere.
You know, I mean, CTV drama carries it every Wednesday or Thursday, like all the time. And then there's some other channel. You can watch it from beginning to end. No, thank you. This is the last run through, unless we have to look at specific, because I did pull up Black Queen over the weekend to make sure, you know, to just revisit.
Rewatch those scenes.
Like, there's three scenes that deal with the sexual harassment stuff. And I'm
And it's as bad as we remembered.
And it's bad. And of course, it's Derek who is the worst. I mean, at least Penelope, you know, I mean, feels bad about it and doesn't like this idea. And then, you know, by the end of being the Black Queen, of course, she's bought into Derek's line and she's going to be her own woman and accept sexual harassment.
I know.
I mean,
that is like the craziest idea. That's the craziest version of empowerment you've ever heard of.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. I can be humiliated and sexually harassed
and objectified and not taken seriously.
Go ahead.
Because I'm choosing it. It's empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, just for the record, no, this is not us making a statement against sex work. We are literally just talking about the way the show treats the Penelope Garcia character and that we find it pretty offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do want that to be made perfectly clear. Yeah. You know? I mean, we're not
just talking about Penelope talking Garcia about and
criminal
how
movies and how this, it epitomizes.
Yeah.
This is why all of this goes on. It also probably explains, and this is when I wrote back that the person who sent me the email or sent us the email, when I wrote it back, I said, and I'm sitting here and going, okay, does this help to explain the troubled relationship with homosexuality that the show has?
Yeah.
I mean I have to give
wouldn't
that
surprise
one
me
more
at all.
Thought. Give that one a thought, but you know,
we can't say for sure, but it wouldn't shock me if this factored in.
Yeah, and I don't know how, because I'd have to go back, like we'll have to go back and tag those episodes and then take a look at those episodes and the rest of it. But you know, it's an amazing thing. This lawsuit is,
I mean, it has the potential to crack open some Hollywood stories that in a very interesting way. And I really hope it does. Because obviously we're desperate to find out more about criminal.
Well, we've always wanted to know more about Criminal Minds.
Yeah. More going on behind the scenes.
And I guess certainly there's, like, I've read some of the comments that people have posted on those articles, those different articles. I did only respond to one. It was a guy who worked there for a short period of time and got the hell out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and he was saying, yes, it was as bad as the lawsuit suggests.
Oof.
Right. And maybe, you know, you get the impression as bad as it or worse. So it wasn't a pleasant environment to work on. And then, you know, it is. There was somebody else who was talking and was just full of bile about the show, sort of like about sort of this, and he says, "And yeah, Glennie, you're finally gonna get yours." So,
oh my god!
Okay, so Glenn Kershaw is not a nice person.
Well, according to that one guy, I mean, we don't know for sure, but yeah.
Well, excuse me, and according to the lawsuit,
he was the prime guy, not passing a lot, like not taking these reports seriously. So
because all of these people who are cited knew about it. Mm-hmm. Is what the state is arguing, knew
and
about
had
it.
The, and, the authority to do something about it and went along with it
and in fact enabled it by firing whoever St. John's wanted to
told
fire.
Them to fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's there are some interesting accusations and I can't wait to see how they all shake out. But the crazy part is it's going to take forever. I mean, it could take years before we hear all of this.
Yes. And the other thing, the other thing that I wanted to mention, right?
Yeah.
Is that I'll just read a couple of lines here because this is very interesting. Defendants chose to act in conscious disregard of its employees' rights by ignoring the complaints made by the crew members. It was not until the media made, and this was Variety, in 2018, made St. John's conduct public and potentially threatened their brand that the defendants removed St. John's from the show.
Wow.
Even when keep they going. Did so, despite the allegations against him, corporate defendants paid St. John's an enhanced severance.
Damn.
It happens often. I mean, it happened in the case at Algoma, too.
Yeah, no, you know, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, but it's pretty typical, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Wow.
You know, you don't want your brand. You don't want it. So you do, quote, in air quotes, the right thing.
Yeah.
A little after the horses have left the barn, you know, but no, they clearly couldn't come to any kind of a mediation agreement. So
that's fascinating.
That's why the suit only came out.
Only just now came forward.
Yeah. Because it's been ongoing since 2017. And it was, I think it was Matulik who was fired in 2017. McNeely had been around since 2004. And the thing is that I can hear people going, well, how did they put up with it? Well, how you put up with it. You avoid it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Right? You avoid the guy.
You try to have as little interaction with the person as possible.
You warn everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is what you do. You just warn everybody about who's dangerous.
Alone in a room with person X.
Yeah. But the problem was this guy did it in public.
Yep.
Right? Like he did it in front of everybody. And, you know, and then would shame people when they didn't want to put up with his cutesy whatever, you know?
Yeah. His cutesy, quote unquote, cutesy groping.
Yeah. You know, whatever it was. And I mean, since it doesn't, you know, I mean, who knows what else went on, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Particularly with those that he then rewarded for putting up with his crap.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, so
it's fascinating.
And you can see, like, yeah, sure, of course, it's a job, and it clearly paid well.
Oh yeah.
But finally, you start to get people. These guys just don't want to take it anymore. Right. And I suspect St. John's was getting worse and worse because all predators, as we know from the show Criminal Minds, you know,
they all decompensate eventually.
Yes. And so St. John's was probably decompensating. I mean, that's the funny thing is that for this show, right.
Yeah.
You could do a whole episode of this show about this.
About that.
You know, and you could use all of their terms and you could profile him and you could do the whole thing. But yeah, no, he decompensating my foot. He just kept getting worse.
Yeah, they all do.
Because he was enabled.
When you get away, when you're enabled, when you keep getting away with crimes, you keep pushing them. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And you push them further and further. God only knows, you know.
I hear you.
You know, where it might have ended. And I guess it just got to be, you know, too much, particularly since there are 12 of them. But there's always got to be somebody who's got to stick their neck out and make the complaint.
No, that's the tough part.
And you pay for it. I mean, I don't think I've ever talked about the situation at the university. I've talked about part of it, but there was a terrible situation. And I, you know, if it hadn't been for my therapist, I'm not sure what I would have done about it. I'm not sure if I could have, without his support, gone through that sort of very difficult
experience.
It's just really hard, and you pay for it. It doesn't matter. You pay for it. Whether I mean, ultimately, I got my PhD, and basically I was funded through most of it and the whole thing. But you still pay because of the rumors.
Yep.
Because people, and I mean, now we're talking back in the 80s, you know, and the idea that somehow or another, right, you must have, it can't be what you say it is, you know, and I saw it then again at this university, right? Oh no, all of these women, you know, I mean, you know, they were all, there are still people who don't believe he did it. And you're sitting there going, are you out of your freaking mind? Would you like to know the cases? Let me tell you. Yes.
So I guess we will leave it there.
But this is.
But yes, expect to hear more about this from us as it goes on. Whenever there is a new dump of information from this lawsuit, whenever we find out anything, we will share it with you, because obviously you're as interested in Criminal Minds as we are, or you probably wouldn't be here. So that should be fun. For now, though.
And the other thing is that... I just wanted to say just please. One other thing is that it is going to affect how we analyze
the show. Yeah, no, obviously.
The show from we're now doing our third, we're going to be doing this week our third episode in season 13. And I can't imagine, and knowing that this is all going on because
around
the
when this guy getting, the behind the scenes, this man is getting complained about seriously and getting ushered off the set. How does that affect A, the show's look, and B, the show's messaging?
Well, so, and yeah, not it's... only the show's messaging, but why episodes? Like Breen Fraser is
exactly.
named, and this is all sort of beginning to, Erica
Master,
all of these people who are supposed to be sort of controlling and everything else, and now the shit is starting to hit the fan.
I know.
So it is.
All right. So prepare to enjoy that. For now, we're going to see you back here on Thursday for two other episodes that I don't care about and Strange Fruit.
Yeah,
two episodes we don't care about in Strange Fruit, which is very interesting. Then we're going to be back here on Sunday for another lockdown check-in. Hopefully the news in America will have gotten better and it'll be more cheerful than last week's, but I can't promise that. if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any behind-the-scenes gossip from Criminal Minds you'd like to share with its biggest fans, drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We will see you back here on Thursday and Sunday, but until then, we're going to say that's right. Au revoir.
And have a good few days.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.